Good morning. You're very welcome here on a Sunday morning, and as we continue to look at the topic of biblical lament, what it means to lament. And today we're focusing on our complaints to God. How do you complain to God? Now, have you ever been frustrated? And just wanted to complain someone, go to the complaint department. As you see there, the pictures take a number, press this red button. When you do, does that person truly care? If you buy something and it's broken or it doesn't work as you were led to believe, you take it back and you go to the customer service, aka the complaint department. And you place the item on the counter and you give it your best shot at complaining about the wrong size, the zipper's broken, there's a crack in the container, or whatever the problem is. Now, a good customer service representative will at least act like they're concerned and will try to help you. But what do you do when it's life and things are not going according to your plan? Who do you complain to? Do you go to God with your complaints? Do you feel comfortable about going to God? Is there a difference between anger about an issue and anger towards God? Well, yes, we can be angry about a situation that we're in. Sometimes the situation is of our own making, and sometimes it is life situations that are out of our control, such as sickness and death. We can complain to God about the situation. It's okay to complain to God. It's not okay to complain about Him. The world loves to complain about God because they want to put all the blame on Him rather than their own sin. Our faith, even when we're at our weakest, should remind us that we are complaining to God because we know our only hope is in God. Now remember that our complaints are usually based on our feelings and not necessarily based on truth. We feel cheated. We feel alone. We feel that God has forgotten us, yet none of that is true. God is always here and He's always with us, though we might not feel His presence. Now how did I cope with the deaths of my grandparents, my parents? Lona's miscarriage. Her dad's death. Not very well. I held a lot of anger inside me. And while I didn't blame God or get angry at God, I was angry. I did my best to hide it from everyone, but the anger affected my walk with the Lord and my prayer life. There is a place for complaining that's biblical. And this kind of complaint is central to our study of biblical lament. Todd Billings, a pastor, explained in his book, Rejoicing in Lament, he said, writers of lament and complaints within the Psalms often seek to make their case against God, frequently citing God's promises in order to complain that God seems to be forgetting His promises. They throw the promises of God back at Him. Without a complaint, there is no lament. And that's what we're looking at today. David complaining to God and throwing God's promises back to Him. Now there are two options that people go to when they are complaining to or about God. They choose to be angry, which then leads them to want nothing to do with God. That's when they start complaining about God instead of complaining to Him. They create their own self-made prison, and they turn to despair and deny God. The other option is they choose denial. You can ask them how they're doing, and they say, I'm fine. And that was me. I was always fine and not dealing with my struggles. Biblical lament offers an alternative to these options. Through godly complaining, we can voice our disappointments, our hurts, our frustrations, our grief to God, and look to Him for a resolution. Lament is how those who know what God is like and believe in Him, it's how they address their pain. Lament is the language of a people who believes in God's sovereignty while living in a world of tragedy. If you go back to our study in Leviticus, it's how do we live holy lives in an unholy world? Well, how do we lament amidst an unholy world? This is what we will look at in Psalm 13 this morning. We will look at David's questions to God, his frustrations that he voices to God, and then how to complain in the right way that leads us to worship the Lord, to trust in Him. So let me read through Psalm 13. It's only six verses, so not very long. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. There's an old hymn I always loved as a child, still do, still a child, still one of my favorite hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. It was comforting. It made me feel good. Well, you know why? It's because of this first verse. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, as a child, and I'm speaking as a child, not as an adult, as a child, there was that comfort knowing that this guy named Jesus was not just the guy from the Sunday school stories who was the Son of God and who did a lot of really cool things. He was my friend, and I could say anything to him. And the purest prayers are from kids. They don't know the Christian lingo. They don't know all the fancy words. They only know what is on their mind, and they tell God. Well, as an adult, you lose that innocence. I did, and forget that Jesus is not only my Savior, but He is my friend. How much peace have I given up because I forgot that friendship? How much pain have I kept carrying myself when all I had to do was tell Him? And this is what David did well. He knew how to pray. Not fancy words. Just true emotional words. His feelings, his questions, his frustrations. Now, do you remember the four parts of the lament? Just putting this up here as a reminder. You address God, crying out to God. You complain to God. You request from God. And you trust God. And David prays to the Lord and goes directly into his questions here in verse 13, in Psalm 13. In the first two verses, he asks five questions. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? See, David is in triple trouble. With God, in those first three questions, he's specifically talking about God. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? The fourth question is he's got trouble with himself. how long must I take counsel in my own my soul? And the last question is with his enemies. So God himself and his enemies. As one theologian said, absence of God, anxiety of soul, supremacy of the enemy, that's the bundle of trouble that he was in. Can you relate? Now I know I've been through the times that I felt God was distant. Have you forgotten me, God? Are you hiding from me? And I definitely have troubles every time I try to trust in my own counsel and wisdom, because my wisdom is nothing but folly, and I will have sorrow in my heart all the day. I may not have any earthly enemies, but I do have a spiritual enemy that doesn't want me to succeed. And all of us have that common enemy, the devil. Yes, yet what is the main focus of his questions? Notice I highlighted, how long? Four times he asked, how long? And really that how long can go with that question that doesn't have it highlighted. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? So it's really five times up there. How long? How long must I endure? God's timing is never our timing, and we wonder the same thing as David. How long? How much longer must I wade through the muck, the darkness of the valley, the anxieties of my situation? I'm still struggling with this give your complaints to the Lord business. Is this okay? Yes, complaint gives voice to our hard questions. As one theologian said, pain comes in many forms. Lament speaks into all the sorrows of life, no matter how big or small. It can be through sickness, death, job loss, relationship struggles, children or grandchildren who lose their way, or spouses, family members, and friends who we are praying for because they need Jesus. I mean, the longer we live, the more pain and sorrow we deal with and that we see in the world. God could intervene, and he does at times, but many times he chooses not to, or he chooses to wait. And that's the tension in these verses. How long, O Lord? So the first thing to do in your complaints to God is to ask the hard questions, just as David did in this psalm. I mentioned last week, and let me remind you, to look at the first line of Psalms. I mean, here are a few more that I didn't mention last week. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? Notice this is the lament, the complaint that Jesus spoke from the cross. Psalm 44. Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? Psalm 80. Why then have you broken down its Jerusalem's walls? Psalm 88. O Lord, why do you cast me away? Why do you cast my soul away? Each of these psalms are questions to complaint of complaint to God. So the psalms should encourage you to give your complaint to God. Detail your struggles and tell them to the Lord. Now there are those moments as parents that we're focused on work or a project and a child comes in and starts asking questions. They stand there talking and talking and talking and you're trying to focus on what you're doing and eventually they say something like, are you listening? I'm trying to tell you something. This is what David is saying to God. He has been praying and he thinks God isn't listening. And he keeps praying and he thinks God is avoiding him. And he keeps praying with a defeated attitude because he thinks God doesn't care. So does that stop him from praying? No. He keeps praying. And in his frustration, he thinks God is avoiding him. Then he asks two requests from God. And the first request is consider and answer me. The first is, listen to me. I'm trying to talk to you. Now, this little prayer takes faith. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Just that in itself is a little prayer. You pray this even when you think God is not listening. Yet in your weak faith, you know He is. Now this doesn't seem to make sense, yet faith is about that. About, in our weakness, trusting in a faithful God. Now Charles Spurgeon spoke of a lady in his first church. He called her Mrs. Much Afraid. She was always doubting and fearful over her spiritual condition, though she had been a believer for 50 years, and she showed all the fruit of genuine faith. She is faithful in worship, helpful to neighbors, willing to share her faith with others. One day they were talking, and she declared she had no hope, no faith, and she feared she was being a hypocrite. So Spurgeon told her to quit coming to church because we don't want hypocrites here. He asked her why she even bothered coming to church. She said, "Well, I come because I can't stay away. I love the people of God, I love the house of God, and I love to worship God." And Spurgeon assured her that she was an odd sort of hypocrite then. As they continued to chat, he asked her if she had no hope. And she said, "No, I have none." So Spurgeon pulled out his wallet, and he took a 5-pound note, and he said, "This 5 pounds is all the money I have, but I'll give you this 5 pounds for your hope if you'll sell it." She looked at him and she said, "Why, I would not sell it for 1,000 worlds. Spurgeon later wrote in his journal about her that she had just told him she had no hope for salvation, yet she would not sell it for 1,000 worlds. Her instincts, her weak faith, assumed what her words denied. She knew there was hope. She knew there was salvation through Jesus Christ. Yet she was full of doubts and fears. And that's what's going on in David's mind as he writes this psalm. He is having doubts about his relationship with God, and at his lowest point, the true faith that dwells within him is prodding him to continue. "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. I don't sense you are listening, so please listen. Even in my lament, my complaints and frustrations, you are my God, and my Lord and my God." His second request was to light up my eyes. Now that's an old Hebrew-Jewish idiom that is used rarely in the Bible, but it means to give me strength. And if you remember back in 1 Samuel 14, King Saul told his army to not eat until the battle was over, but they were so weak, and Jonathan, Saul's son, told his men to eat the wild honey they had found, and he said, "How my eyes lit up when I tasted that bit of honey." Here, David asks for the Lord to supply him with strength and energy as he endures his troubles. He asks for strength lest he die and lest his enemies prevail over him and rejoice. For David, if the enemy rejoices over him in victory, and that means God wasn't up to the task to help him, which David also knew wasn't true. See, he's not bargaining with God. He's just stating how he feels due to his emotions and frustrations. So I encourage you to write out your own lament. Write it out in a journal, your complaints and your frustrations, every detail. The clearer and brutally honest you are, the better. And the better it will help you. Write out your prayer. Write out your request to God, and write out who God is to you. Write out your faith and your trust in the Lord, even when your faith is weak and you are mentally and spiritually tired. Give everything over to the Lord in prayer. Don't forget to write out your praise to the Lord as well. Now, there is always a right way and a wrong way to do something. Now, I don't know how many times I've been putting together a box kit of a table or a bookcase or a desk and realize I put the legs on backwards and had to undo everything and start over. There's a right way and a wrong way in a lament to God. First, the wrong way in lament to God is not a lament at all, but it's just a gripe session, complaining and venting in anger with no plan to reconcile with God. You're angry at God, and you're complaining about God. Since a lament leads us to worship God during our suffering, then complaining and anger, being arrogant and prideful is not the way to go. But let me suggest four ways or four parts of a lament. First, be humble. In bringing our complaints and frustrations to God, we must stay humble. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, these are great verses to remember during a time of lament. Even though this is Jesus talking and saying how he will receive you, it implies that we come to him in humility and not prideful or arrogant. In our suffering, we are laboring under the mental, physical, and spiritual weight that's been set upon us. It is more than we feel that we can bear. And that's why Jesus said to come to him, let him walk with you. Let him ease the burden and help you rest. Twice he said he will give you rest, not only physical rest, but rest for your souls. Second is to pray the Bible. Make the Psalms personal. That's the best thing about the Psalms, is that we can place ourselves in David's place and pray these Psalms as if we wrote them ourselves. As you read through the five questions in verses 1 and 2, do you feel that you could have written them? Have you asked God these questions? Have you felt that God is at a distance? Have you asked God to light up your eyes, to give you energy and strength during your struggles? Write the psalm out. Write Psalm 13 out. And as you do so, think about your situation and that you are writing this to God. Think of this as your psalm. There are dozens of lament psalms. Whichever one you're reading, whichever one you pick out, write that one out. If you have a prayer journal, it is good to write out a verse that speaks to you. I mean, I'm terrible at memorization. Always have been. So, but writing things out helped me to remember, and it makes it personal to me. Be honest. I mean, there's no need to pray or to ask God about anything if you're not going to be honest with him. Which means, if you're not honest with God, then you're not being honest with yourself. It is okay not to be okay. Do you know the group of people in the world that has the highest prescription rate for antidepressants are Mormon wives in Salt Lake City, Utah? They deny the fact that they are in deep depression and they are addicted to drugs to keep smiling as if nothing is wrong. I'm fine. Well, let me repeat, it's okay not to be okay. We can be honest with Jesus because he has endured everything that we endure. He can sympathize and empathize because he was tempted in every way, just as we have been tempted, yet he never sinned. He endured pain and suffering just as we endure. Hebrews 4:13 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but he is one," he's talking about Jesus, "who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And even more compelling to us is that Jesus felt the distance of his heavenly Father. When Jesus was on the cross, sinless, yet bearing the sin of the world, our sin, God in his infinite holiness cannot look upon sin. And Matthew 27:46 tells us that Jesus said, while on the cross, feeling the separation from God the Father, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani." That is, it was Aramaic for, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was there bearing our sins, and God had turned his back on him. Jesus quotes the first verse from Psalm 22, a lament psalm. a lament about his crucifixion. When we feel that God is not there and not listening, be encouraged. Jesus endured the same feeling and he prayed the same thing. And he understands that feeling, so in your prayer, be honest. And in our weakness, there are times when we don't know how to pray. And Paul tells us in Romans 8:26 that the Holy Spirit will pray for us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit takes what we're feeling, our pain and our sadness and our lament, and he takes it to the Lord. And fourth, after being humble, praying the Bible, being honest about our suffering, don't forget to trust and praise God. Don't stay in the complaint department. Don't stay in the muck and mire of sorrow. In our sorrow, trust God. In our complaints, trust God. In our frustrations, trust God. Notice the change of pronouns by David in verse 6, 5 and 6. But I have trusted. My heart shall rejoice. I will sing. In his suffering, in his complaints and frustrations, he knows that God is his only hope, and he trusts and he praises God. And what is he praising God for? What does he trust God for? For God's steadfast love, loving kindness or mercy, depending on your translation. It's all the same word. For the salvation that he can only have from the Lord. And because God has dealt bountifully with him. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and are saved, meaning you accept that he died for your sins, and that because of his resurrection you will be with him for eternity, then you have every reason to praise him. You can praise him through your sufferings in this life, because in eternity there'll be no suffering, no tears, no pain. And our job here on this earth, as we endure the tears, the pain, the suffering, is to share the love of God with a world that desperately needs a Savior. So let me close with an example of a lament. A lament that I wrote. I wrote this out a few days ago in my prayer journal. I tried journaling off and on over several years, but I decided 3 years ago to make a more diligent effort with it. While I don't write something every day, I try not to miss more than one day at a time. And this lament I wrote a couple of days ago. Father, I am not fine. I am less than fine. I am tired. I'm angry. Not with you, but with my situation. With Madeline moving away. With myself for missing out on time with Dad. Help me overcome that anger. Help me have joy in my suffering. Bring at least one person to you, to the church. I love you, and I know you're the only one who can help me through your steadfast love, with your steadfast love. You are the Almighty God, my Redeemer. So I pray that as you struggle with the challenges in your life, you remember that you have a friend in Jesus in whom you can bring your complaints and your frustrations in a humble and honest manner, praying God's promises back to God as you trust and give him praise.